In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Friday, the 20th of October. Good as always to have you along, everybody. Incredible as this may be to believe, given the fire hose of other stuff in the news cycle this week, there was a whole mess of economy-related things that need some talking about. Anna Swanson is with the New York Times. Sudeep Reddy is at Politico. They are here to do the talking from our bureau in Washington, D.C. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
Sudeep, let me start with you and the budget vote that the Senate took last night being hailed as paving the way for tax reform. Connect the dots, would you?
Now comes the hard part. This is a budget agreement that has no real world consequences, but does have some important consequences when it comes to congressional procedure, because now they have the ability to cut taxes substantially while also blowing up the deficit. Even though some of the members don't quite want to do that, they will always take a tax cut. Mm-hmm. And this next step, though, is a lot harder. Coming up with actual tax policy that has real world implications on companies and on American citizens, mm-hmm. taxpayers. That is the hard part. And markets have gone on such a tear with anticipation of a big tax deal that failing to deliver will put some payback into the stock market and put a lot of pressure on them to deliver. But they don't have a lot of time all their deadlines pass.
All right, Anna, let me turn a little sideways here. I'm going to read you back to yourself the lead of your story from the New York Times talking about NAFTA renegotiations that have been going on the last, 10 days or so. You said about a couple of 3 days ago, until Tuesday, the North American Free Trade Agreement looked like it might be headed for a quick demise. Now it could be headed for a slow, painful one. What?
That's right. That sounds pretty enjoyable.
Yes.
So very recently, it looked like the talks were hurtling towards something not great. Basically, the United States was in a standoff with Mexican and Canadian negotiators. There's a big gap between the positions and a very tight timeline, with the parties saying that they wanted to finish things up by the end of the year. On Tuesday, they announced they were just going to slow it down, take a breath, and now talks will extend into the first quarter of 2018, which is good because it gives them a little more time to figure out their stances. But it's also bad because in 2018, we start running into other kinds of political hurdles.
Right.
There are elections in all three countries, especially the Mexican presidential elections could make this a big political issue. And then you also have legislation that makes it easier for Congress to pass trade deals, which runs out mid-year. So.
Right.
Well, so some other hurdles coming up.
Yeah, lots of stuff coming up. But the implicit assumption in that sentence of yours I read was that this thing's going to die anyway.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. Okay. I mean, I think there is still a path to success, but it's a pretty narrow, pretty challenging one. There are a lot of controversial issues. And the Trump administration has staked out a really tough position in a lot of areas, things like a 5-year sunset clause for the deal or clashes over agriculture, a big fight about how much of autos needs to be made in the United States and North America. And they haven't really shown any signs yet that they're willing to compromise. And meanwhile, Canadians and Mexicans and the U.S. business community basically say these issues are non-starters. And, you know, passing a trade deal without the support of the business community is a pretty difficult thing to do.
Right. Sudeep, Anna mentioning, you know, pushing into next year reminds me of the fact that the president actually said in the last, week or so, that taxes are going to push into 2018. And as Anna said, elections, hello?
Elections, hello, exactly. Elections, goodbye when it comes to some of these discussions. Coming up with a tax deal, coming up with trade deals, coming up with any kind of progress in Congress, which we know is never easy to pull off in the first place, and gets just even more difficult in an election year. All of this stuff is getting in the way, and then there are going to be nominations, the Fed chairmanship, all these things have to happen and have to happen very quickly, and they're not going to be easy.
You stole my next bullet point, and I want to ask you real quickly, and then I'm going to go to Anna about the Fed chair and how much of a difference it would make whether it's, say, Jay Powell or Janet Yellen, because the tightening, the raising of interest rates seems destined to continue, right, Sudeep?
It's going to continue at some kind of pace, but markets and traders love certainty. They understand Janet Yellen. They've been hearing from her for a while. They don't quite understand Jay Powell, but they know that he's going to be somewhere in line. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of political consequences of this, of picking somebody who is an avowed Democrat versus a Republican. And the chairmanship of the Fed is easily the most powerful unelected position in the world. And this is probably one of the most consequential decisions this president will make across his entire term. So you better choose right.
on a very quickly, the idea that he is deciding not clearly to reappoint Janet Yellen out the gate, right? That is of note.
Yeah, definitely. I do agree that Janet Yellen would probably provide the most certainty for markets. They know what her position is. But I think, you know, Jay Powell, in terms of the other candidates, also provides a certain degree of certainty. We know his voting record.
Right. He is on the board of governors now, we should say.
He's on the board of governors now. You know, he's a moderate Republican with experience. Some of the other candidates, I think, are even more uncertain.
Right.
You know, you have Gary Cohn, Kevin Warsh, John Taylor. The last two in particular, some might think they might be more monetary policy hawks, which the markets might not like.
Is not what the White House wants, I bet. Anna Swanson at the New York Times and Sudeep Reddy at Politico. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Kai.
Thank you.